Hello everyone and welcome to episode 72 of Competitive Magic with the Carnies. I'm your host from Italy, Andrea Mengucci, and joining me with me you have Javier Dominguez from Spain.
Hello everyone.
And Anthony Lee from Australia.
Hola.
Hello everybody, and we are back after the last batches of Regional Championship to kind of talk to you about what was modern last weekend. Anthony, you participated in one of them, didn't you?
Kinda, yeah.
You can even, we can even spot you looking at the final right here that was won by James Wilk in, what was it again, Melbourne?
Yes, Melbourne, yes. Yeah, that's me looking very thrilled for my friend Jim. More of a Jim
than
happy. James, really.
This is Happy Antonio.
Yeah. I always have a face like this for every event. I try not to have much of an expression when an event ends, you know, out of consideration for the other finalists. I had a face like this for. There's another picture of another friend of mine winning a GP where I have this expression many years ago, and I also was told I had a very stony expression when I won my RC exactly because of this. You know, I think it's better to try to, you know, stay calm, but it makes for a funny picture.
Yeah, you can watch the podcast on my YouTube channel, or you can go search the picture at Good Games Aus. That's where they tweeted it. It's, yeah. Anyway, outside of that, the other very big news that happened this weekend was the banned and restricted
announcement. So the big news is Anthony does not celebrate things. Is that what's happening here?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure there's a lot bigger news than that, just in general.
Okay, yeah, you're saying. Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
That a card has been banned and one has been unrestricted. We're just going to focus on the one that's been banned, Violent Outburst, because Vintage is not part of our competitive topics.
Thank you.
Although last weekend I competed in a team tournament that also had featured Vintage, but we don't have to talk about that. I was spending my time at Four Seasons, where I played a various format alongside Modern. And today we're going to just kind of go over the results of the past RC and maybe kind of looking forward to the next Modern that will be. I will actually play a quite large Modern event soon. I'll be playing in the LMS Prague, not this weekend, but the one after. So I actually have to do some proper Modern testing, and look forward to that.
Sounds exciting.
Okay, so Violent Outburst is banned. The reason is, of course, the Cascade decks are now weakened. And they can't do that anymore. The Violent Outburst plus Force of Negation. Although, three preliminary were won by Rhinos so far after the bans. Whereas Living End is still kind of struggling, I would say. I don't think I've seen any Living End doing that well. I've seen some 5-0s here and there. But I definitely feel like Living End is the true loser of this ban list. What do you guys think?
Well, I think it would be very funny. It would be funny. Yeah, funny. It would be funny if Rhinos ends being actually better. Like, it would be a classic Magic situations where they buy in a card from a deck, and then, you know, because Alan Pui actually plays so well with Subtlety and Force Negation, it actually ends being a better card than Outburst. Like, you know, probably it makes for a better mana base and such. Like, I don't think it's going to be likely, but it could be the case, right? And if that's the case, that's, yeah.
If it were the case, it would be more likely because Violent Outburst is so much a bigger loss to Living End, which was Rhino's truly horrible matchup. Like, if it turns out that Living End is just not viable without Violent Outburst, and so Rhino's loses its worst matchup, but then also, you know, didn't have that much of a downgrade, then that's a way in which Rhino's could have genuinely improved as a result of the ban, I think.
True, that's very true. Yeah. Like, yeah, if you remove a Predator from a Modern deck, that's, like, very important, right, in terms of the ecosystem of the metagame. So, yeah, I mean, I think a ban like this is always exciting. Like, when they touch, like, I think there are exciting times for both, for, like, deck experts that they have to adapt their, you know, the archetype to things, and also like brewers or whatever. Like this always opens a little bit of a door for new things to actually pop around, especially with decks like Rhinos. Like it's not the same if Yawgmoth is the best deck and they ban it than if Rhinos is, because Rhinos was very good against all decks trying to do fancy things because of Force Negation and the such. So, I mean, I will be excited if I had the tournament this weekend playing Modern for sure.
It's a change, yeah. I don't know. Magic players, Magic is a game about change, I think. So, any kind of change, whether it's a more organic one like new cards coming out or one like this where something is removed, they usually create some kind of opportunity. Whether how big or small that is variable, but in this case, I think it's not a big one, but it's still something interesting.
I remember last time we talked about a ban list in Modern was when Fury and Beanstalk got banned, and we were talking about how maybe the ban of Fury made Scam better, but it didn't really do it. So I feel like now we are seeing a similar thing where people say that Rhinos might get better, but I just feel like the matchup Rhinos versus Murktide was super important to a Violent Outburst, because the instant speed opportunity of you to just, you know, play Endurance or play Outburst or play, let's say, you know, Harkas Force of Negation, Tishana, you know, like all of these opportunity to play instant speed was what made Teemer a very scary deck. So I think losing that angle definitely makes you weaker to Murktide, I think.
Well, yeah, I think you are weaker to Murktide, although I think that's probably outweighed by living and losing so much from Violent Outburst that maybe nobody can play it. But I also think instant speed only matters that much against Murktide, I think. Like, there's not many other decks where you have to dance around with your Rhinos. You can just jam your Rhinos and then counter whatever they do with Force. So, like, Ardent Plea into Force of Negation is just as good against a lot of other decks. Like, if you play against Amulet or something, you know, like, that's... I don't know, I just don't think instant speed matters outside of that matchup.
Maybe okay, doesn't even matter that much. Yeah. Like, maybe it doesn't... Like, yeah. Of course, you're not having the resistance speed, but the deck is also built differently. Like, the Rhinos decks now seem to be based, like, the... Like, there are less of a tempo deck than before, right? And cards like the Sign of Drago, whatever, or even the Subtlety are actually good against Murktide, right? The way the deck is built. So, I think we could probably, like... I'm not sure the new versions of the deck now are that much worse, if any, against Murktide. Like, I'll have to see that on play. I don't think it's obvious.
Yeah, like you could see, for example, like Ardent Plea also has different properties, right? Like it's not instant, but it is reusable with cards like Teferi, Time Raveler. So, and you could also see the deck shift in a direction that's better against Murktide as a result. Like maybe you downgrade from Violent Outburst, but now you have Teferi, which is I think usually a pretty good card against Murktide. So,
and the Scion has to be good, like yeah, it has to be great. Like some get they're gonna be Ragaman on the draw and boom, Scion. Like I know it's a. How do you mean that, right? Like, yeah, I think I will have to. I'm not sure. I don't think there's enough reasons to say like the deck is obviously worse against Murktide now. It could be the case, but I don't think that's necessarily the case.
Yeah, we're not sure.
Yeah, so a card that I mean, this is not news or anything, but a card that has been outstanding for me in Modern so far is Pick Your Poison. I've played several different decks so far, and I found that this card with or against me now, and just so many applications. It kills like stuff like The One Ring, Urza Saga, Sign of Draco, Murktide Regent. You know, it's so versatile, so good that I felt like as a Murktide player, I received this card and cast this card a lot, and it's been very, very good. So this is probably the best card from Murders of Carlo Manor in Modern. You know, the Scry lands, the Survey lands are also close to this, but I've been so impressed by Pick Your Poison so far. I mean,
this could be the best disenchant ever, right?
Yeah, I think so.
It just
could be. I mean, that's a high bar, but like this could be the very best disenchant ever. And it really, so the only concern here is like it doesn't really get that much space to become better. Like, what's better than this? The same game one life?
Maybe you can destroy instead of sacrificing.
Well, that's not necessarily better for Constructed.
It's not necessarily better because you can kill the Sign of Draco with X-Proof.
Or the One Ring that comes up. You know, like
or the One Ring.
Like, I think this one is probably the best enchant ever. for like all formats, like the best card in this kind ever printed. That's my impression.
I guess it can be better if you say that it can't be countered, so you can kill a Chalice in one in Legacy.
Well, that's still very narrow, but yeah. I mean, I'm just saying, like, like suddenly this effect is like playable in the format just because like how good it is. Like, obviously, there's always been enough targets for cards like this in the metagame, but the cards were never good enough. But this one seems to be good enough to see play, and that's, I mean, it's cool, you know. Don't get me wrong, but like, I guess it's good. It just feels like this could be also like an uncommon or a rare from a modern license, like, you know, like Green Command, like
for sure.
Like, this could be a Green Command, right? Like, because the effect is just so much better than everything else like this.
I mean, that's not really how they do rarity necessarily. Like, a lot of that is tied to things like complexity and applicability. And I think, I mean, this makes sense as a common to me. And
no, I know.
Yeah.
I'm saying it's like in terms of power level, this card is like just good enough for modern, right? And we're probably going to see this.
It's scalable. I like that. I like magic with good answers, so I'm happy certainly. They made this.
Yeah. This is very, very good answer. Yeah.
So I've mentioned the surveillance, and I want to shout out to Binyu, who won the regional championship in China, and his deck had 4 surveillance. He got there with Esper, Gorgeous Vengeance, with, as I said, 4 surveillance. Sometimes I've played it with and against this deck, and I had the turn 1 surveillance put Atraxa in the graveyard, and that's just the same equivalent of when you play Pioneer and you consider an Arcless Phoenix in the graveyard. It feels like you just free rolled on turn 1 and the game is not going to be the same.
It's like a 10%, right? To hit Grisabrand or Atraxa. That's,
yeah, you
that's
have 6. Decent. Yeah, you have 6.
I mean, even if you get like, I mean, do you have any other uses for that? Not really. I mean, you could get Demanding.
No, you have
Demanding also.
Yeah, okay. Exactly.
I mean, it's a little bit narrow, but I can see why it's like good. Right, but that's getting this but not playing cards like consider is kind of surprising. I assume you want the lands to be the considers in this case.
Yeah.
You also play with Grief and Solitude, so like you need a lot of black and white cards for the deck to function.
Yeah. Oh,
I see. That makes sense. Yeah.
No, I felt like having 10 fetches and 4 surveillance made this deck so consistent for curve purposes. Just, you know. Even in top deck mode, you always have a fetch land laying around so you can fix your draw. Yeah, I think that the addition of surveillance make this deck very much a contender as one of the best decks in modern. I mean, this deck was always be around. You may remember in PT Barcelona, Marco Vassallo lost the winning in with this deck. And since then, I would say the deck lists are changing a bit. You see the Falaji Archaeologist. Another very cool interaction of this deck is that you can build your own Dig Through Time. You play Ephemerate of Falaji Archaeologist, and you basically just get 2 cards out of the top 6.
A little bit better than Dig Through Time.
Wow, what?
Yeah.
So you play Falaji, then you get 1 card, and then
you play Falaji, then like end of turn of your opponent, you Ephemerate when it's free, when it's safe.
Okay.
And then you just mill 3, get a card, upkeep, mill 3,
that's
get a card.
That's pretty good.
And you, once you do that, I mean, obviously you can break, but you look at the top 7 cards with the draw step, so you can find Gorgeous Vengeance and Mill Atraxa or Grisabrand.
That's pretty good. So this deck seems very interesting.
Yeah, I feel like this deck is definitely like, it has a lot of good cards. Again, surveillance is probably the best place to put them, and you also have the Grief Ephemerate starter, or which dodges graveyard hate. Like, for example, I played against this deck, I opened Lilan of the Void, I got Grief Ephemerate, and, you know, I died a few turns later.
I think this deck came from Ichikawa, right? Ichikawa really popularized this deck recently. He's doing a lot of waves with these combo decks, huh?
So I think one point here is, like, we were wrong about the lands, right? Wouldn't we?
What did we say?
I think I said it was good.
The super lands. I think we were not very right about this. I think the super lands are better than we thought they would be. I remember saying, like, probably. Well, you know,
we definitely didn't anticipate 4. Yeah, we definitely didn't. I agree now. Actually, we said they were good or that they would be played, but we definitely didn't expect them to basically enable a new archetype when you played 4 of them. Like, we.
I remember. Yeah, I think you and I, Anthony, were like, well, maybe one off and that's a lot already. And I think Mengu was actually right. Mengu was like, you know, those are going to be great.
Yeah.
But also Mengu says everything is going to be great every time. So that's kind of like,
I don't think
not,
I said
not true.
I don't think I said very much about it because it was right before the USRC, I think. But
yeah, but I think we were like, well, maybe not great or whatever. I feel
we definitely
underrated it.
No, yeah.
I mean,
sure.
we nailed all the things, time. You know, but this one, definitely not. Yeah, Mengu says, like, not every two-color leg we're going to scroll in, though. Well, that's not the case. They do, right?
Like, yeah, everyone much does. Better. Especially Rakdos Scam and Yawgmoth, they all play.
Yeah. We were wrong about this.
I wanted to put these in single-color decks.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just saying, like, I mean, we had some very good hits. Like, we nailed the bands or whatever. You know, like, some things we called, they were very right and very accurate. She altered it. This one we did not.
I would count this as wrong. I agree.
I think this time... this is the biggest wrong I think we've had in the podcast so far compared
really?
To what actually
no
happened.
Way. We've definitely been more wrong than this. No way.
We should make a summer recap of things we've been wrong.
Like, okay, I feel for sure we must have said some... I don't know. What episode did Mengu say? 72? There's no way we didn't say some heinously stupid stuff.
Well, maybe. Just... Yeah, exactly. Well, that's true. All right, I can see that. Yeah. But we were definitely wrong on this one. And it's time to, you know, admit it publicly. Mm-hmm. We were wrong. I personally was very wrong. I was probably the one that was more down in about these lands. And yeah, that was bad. Just saying.
I was very, very happy to try it in Murktide. That was definitely a deck I was very happy to try one. And now they even play two because they're splashing green now, Murktide. And they play even the blue-green one. Definitely. Yeah, very, very. It's just so nice to fetch it. I even played it in Legacy yesterday. This weekend, I played Legacy and I played Undercity Sewer in my Sultai deck. And I've seen a lot of Undercity Sewer in every blue-black deck, basically, even Doomsday and
this tells you how wrong I was. I mean, it does make sense, right? Like, once you play a game and you see a game, it's like, well, it's actually like turning all these fetch lands into a 0 mana free scry 1. That's a better luxury 1. That's actually very good. Like, I just never thought about it like on that exact way. I was just like, well, if you know it's very bad, like kind of Mystic Sanctuary bad. But then it's like, well, Mystic Sanctuary is like completely great. So, you know.
It's banned.
Yeah.
It's banned in Modern.
like if this is a very bad Mystic Sanctuary, sure. You know, like, okay. It's even a dual land. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely one of the, I mean, remember, personally speaking, I think it was very, very wrong.
Do you remember Avir Alimar Depths?
I do.
That plan from World Way comes into play and you rearrange a top 3 card.
Yeah.
And I remember, when this card came out, I just couldn't believe it. I'm like, this is too powerful. Like, it's free and you get almost like a ponder, you know, when this came out. It was, you know, at the very early stage of my Magic career, but I definitely felt... Like, you know, this was breaking the game, but it wasn't. But I guess if it was an island, it would definitely be. So
yeah, exactly. Well, it would be much better with an island because you could just maybe have to fetch us and whatever, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
The Superlands, I'm looking forward to fetch some of them and, you know, and surveil and think like, well, I thought this was bad, but this is great every time until it gets old.
Yeah, so I feel like what happened with Gore's Vengeance is that, as you said, Yukichikawa top 8ed the RC in Japan a few weeks ago, I think, and then this deck, and then what happened is that Living Gant just, like, went crazy. Like, it was probably the most popular deck before the bans, and this deck just crushes Living Gant. I actually played a league with Living Gant post-ban, and this deck just, now that you don't have Outburst anymore, you can't go, like, reanimate at the end of your turn, and then just attack and kill you. So I played against Archon of Cruelty and Atraxa, like two different decks. And whenever they put that into the graveyard, game one, it was over. Like I just couldn't beat it. So because you can't, like, again, you don't have the Outburst sequence anymore.
Just even
so
if you
I feel
did.
Like this deck.
Just imagine trying to play Living End against Faithful Mending. Like, how do you play the game?
Yeah, definitely doesn't
and
sound
even
great.
Solitude. And even Solitude breaks Living End so much. So For sure, this deck came as a response to Living Gant being so dominant. And this deck really did dominate. Like, it won in China, it won in Thailand, it won the Star City game, it won the Face-to-Face Open. So it was definitely the weekend of Esper Gore's Vengeance in Modern. But again, of the previous meta game. Now, maybe without Living End being the most popular deck, it will be just, you know, it will have less good matchups.
Yeah, it can still be good. Maybe it's still good, and maybe just like a fine tier 1 tier 2 deck or whatever.
That's cool. Like, it's an actual new deck in Mon. I haven't seen that for a little while, right? I think that's cool.
Yeah. This is, I mean, and also, like, the play pattern of this deck is somewhat fun because, like, it's an instant speed combo card, so you can, like, respond to cards like Endurance or whatever by creating a stack. It definitely creates, like, you can go fair, you can Artcast Atraxa. I don't want to say easily, but actually it's not that hard. Like, you definitely Artcast Atraxa if you play a league at least once. So yeah, it has a lot of angles.
This definitely seems like a deck I will enjoy, actually.
I don't know about fun. Like, anything with Glorious Vengeance is probably not terribly enjoyable. Like, I mean,
I am a combo player. What can I say?
Yeah, you might enjoy it, but I'm just what Mangu said. I don't think this is a deck that has particularly healthy play patterns, because I mean, you have this combination of like Blinking Grief and like trying to reanimate something and kill your opponent on 3, functional, win the game on turn 3. Like, that's not
much better than Rhinos.
I don't know.
Maybe I play too much cube. Now I just want to play Atraxa and Grizzlebrand. That's all I want to do.
And also, like, so you're playing for Atraxas, but Grizzlebrand is so much better to reanimate because it just. Is this, I don't know, I guess I haven't played a Reanimator in Legacy in a long time, but I miss reanimating Grizzlebrand, and then just, you draw 14, you have like infinite free spells between Grief, Solitude, and Force of Negation even, so you just, yeah, you just, you know, just do all this stuff, and then you link Grizzlebrand with an Ephemerate.
They play Commandeer with, like, they don't play blue cards or those, right?
Yeah, no, this one was bad. Commandeer was bad. I drew it a couple of times. I was never able to.
Like, it seems very hard to actually assemble 3 blue cards.
But it gave me a good thumbnail, though. I put Atraxa inside the ball with my face on Commandeer.
Well, yeah, I can see you can Commandeer after the Atraxa, but I mean, it's like in normal games, it doesn't seem like better than on other options. I also guess this deck, part of why this deck is good is the sideboard, though, isn't it? Like, this can have access to a very good sideboard plan. That can sidestep.
Yeah, these are great.
Like the cyber cards are very good. Like, all these cyber cards are actually quite good. Locally speaking, like, you can have the best cards in some situations. I think that's also a good part of a deck like this being appealing, in my opinion. Like, you can even play hate cards against other decks if you specifically need them, right? Like against Yawgmoth or whatever. And I think that's good. I mean, obviously this is very prepared against Cascade with the Teferi, Philosopher's Storm, Chalice, but if the new metagame opens in a different way, this cyber could readapt. I think this deck could, I mean, if it's as functional as it looks, it could have legs even in the metagame.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. This weekend, there was a couple of other modern events that I feel like it's good to highlight, or I guess I could say the word showcase. The modern showcase. Yeah, this is just all natural, by the way. Not planned or anything.
Okay, just, I believe you.
Well, just because we don't have a script, so that's why it's all natural.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. So the Mother Showcase channel was won by none less than Mono Black Coffer. It's definitely something did not expect. One thing I like to see is there are only 2 Orcish Bowmaster. This is a card I've been lower and lower in Modern. Basically, just like quite weak against every non-Murktide deck, and its only role was to kill the other opponent Bowmasters. So, yeah, definitely a card that you wouldn't expect to go down to 2 copies, especially, you know, for how good it was in 2023, but I guess now it's not that good anymore in Modern.
Makes sense to me. I mean, I've been trying to cut these for a little while. Yeah, I think you're right. I don't know, like, it's a lot narrower than it seems, and every time this card is just there's too many spots where this card is very close to Raise the Alarm, which is just not even close to a card you want in these decks, that it's not too surprising to see this card drop in stock. And yeah, it's because it's not a card that's good. Like, I think it is context sensitive, right? So playing a non-4 number is totally reasonable to me.
This is playing the couple of Profane Tutor, 3 Damnation, 4 Shielded Edict, Alex Stone of Eric, actually, this is one of the best tools I think you can have against Yawgmoth. Just kind of like a free card that's not card disadvantage, that just in some particular matchup like Yawgmoth or, I guess, Rack the Scam, you just leave it in play and it does all the job, whereas in every other matchup you can just go 3-mana cycle, which is, you know, a little bit worse than Relic of Progenitus, but here it's much better than Relic of Progenitus because you have a lot of removal spells. Unlike in Tron, where, you know, Relic is better than Stonewind for sure.
Makes sense.
I mean, not too much else to say about this list, but I will definitely stream with this tomorrow. Domain Zoo is another deck that has been doing very well. And actually a deck that I just kind of enjoy playing. The play pattern is very aggressive. It has very powerful cards. You can assemble the Leland of the Gilpak Scion of Draco combo. This deck doesn't have that many ways to use the Leland of the Gilpak. Like, you don't have Subtlety of Force and Negation, or even Solitude or Endurance or whatever. So sometimes it feels like you get a bad draw. But opening this is much better here because you have so much domain that it just fixes your bad mana-based draw. Like, for example, if you draw Forest Temple Garden, you have to mulligan. But if you draw Forest Temple Garden and Ley Line, then you keep. So it gives you more consistency to your bad mana base.
I like this deck.
At one point here, though, is like, as opposed to Rhinos, where Ley Line is like a good enabler and you have like a way to get rid of the excess, as you said, like with Subtlety or whatever. It looks to me here, without playing a game with this version, that this is probably like, for Leyland of the Gilpak, is probably not the actual right number, right? Like, you don't have use for multiples, and it's also not like, it's very good in your deck because it enhances your synergies, but it's also like, you don't need it as much in that sense. Like, and yeah, like, this is an aggressive deck, so like, drawing two is like actually very bad because it doesn't have that many ways to actually make up the fact that you do two and the such. I would probably, if I was playing this deck, consider going for three or two. Probably. Like, I think four sounds kind of weird.
There's a subtle anti-synergy where, like drawing a dead card has a higher cost in a more synergistic deck, which this is somewhat in that it's aggressive, right? Like, aggressive cards are inherently somewhat synergistic. A glib way of putting it is that they synergize with your opponent's life total, but it does
work. Yeah, they do.
It does work that way, right?
Nishoba Rattler is synergy card. Otherwise, it will not be playable in Modern, right?
So, exactly. So, I think this card actually does look quite a bit worse here than in the Rhinos deck. And honestly, like, I'm not even sure the Rhinos deck was... Like, it's still not clear to me whether the Leyline version is better than the regular version of Rhinos pre-ban. Obviously, that changes post-ban because of Violent Outburst being banned, but like here, yeah, I agree. It's just not necessarily a four of, and I know we're gonna open a whole can of worms with people talking about whether ley lines are necessarily four ofs or not. That's outside the scope of what we're gonna do now. I know if we start now, that Javier Manga will be at each other's throats.
No, but, well, it's gonna be fast discussion. You can play any number of ley lines. That's it.
Well, we know that's the answer, but it's not a fast discussion because a lot of people think that you're supposed to play zero or four ley lines. You know that's true.
Because they listen to the podcast. And if they don't listen to the podcast, they're not listening to this. Right? So if they're listening to this, they know this.
Do you want to quickly talk about why that is, like, very, very quickly? Or
Well, you can have it. There's no rule. That's it. Yeah. I mean, I'm pretty sure we have said it before.
Okay.
Like, there's no reason to the other way around. That's it.
Okay. Sure. Yeah. All right, then.
You continue.
Okay, a change I would make to this deck for sure is to play four pick the poison in your sideboard. Like, yeah, that
four.
That's just the best.
So it is best. It's good against Amulet, right? Also, like, it's good against
Like, there's no reason to play Wear Tear over pick your poison.
Okay, that's a bit strong.
It's just so much.
Hold on.
Yeah, it's so much better.
I mean, clearly there is a reason to play. I mean, I don't think it's necessarily correct, but I don't want to be...
What about against Amulet? Like, against Amulet Titan, Mengu, do you think Pit the Poison is actually better than Wear Tear? Because against that deck specifically is where Wear Tear is like, boom. You know?
Yeah, I guess, yeah.
Like, if that is true, that's a reason to play Wear Tear.
Or, like, against Scales or something. Yeah, I don't know. Like, it can't be that there's no reason, like...
No. Okay, so I exaggerated, of course, but, like, the ability to like sideboard this card in against, you know, Zoo or Murktide and be able to kill Blood Moon or Shredder, Leyline Binding or Scion of Draco.
But you know, do you want to play four against mirror match?
Yeah, that's
no,
a thing.
No, we don't, right? Like two or three. Maybe two only.
But not and the mirror match does 12 targets. You have Cyan, Lilian Binding.
But it doesn't matter if it has targets. It matters whether it's good. Like, I don't want to... Like, just because I can cast it doesn't mean that it's good, you know?
Exchange is very...
I don't know. Like, what if you you draw two of these cards in the mirror match? I think that's very... it's a big liability.
I don't know. Today I sided in four and it was good. But I understand.
Well, I'm not saying every time you... just cyborg four, it's gonna feel bad. I'm saying like it might be.
No, I understand what you mean. Yeah.
Like so, the way I see it is like if you're gonna have some amount of effects, Pick of Punch is gonna be better. But against the very dedicated enchantment plus artifact decks like Hammer and Amulet, probably specifically, the Wear Tear seems better. So I think it's also like you don't want to play a bunch of answers in this deck. Like you're playing a mirror match, I assume you want to cut the four Stubborn Denials and play four cards, right?
Yeah, that's what I did.
I don't know what's a better way to do it, but what I'm saying is like you want exactly four cards in, so if you construct a sideboard, you will want to have four in. So you have to I think Pure Poison is a card you can customize your sideboard around just to make sure things fit well, which I am not intuitively seeing this is happening here. But this card could be I kinda call those like sideboard stabilizers where they can just, it's like, you know these weights in the markets where they use the old markets where they can just put weights in things. I think this card, I don't know if this comparison is getting anywhere, but
best of breed, yeah.
Yeah. So you can use those cards to actually make all the weights be as balanced as you want. And that's also why it's probably not a four off in a perfect configuration, because that will probably lead into some severe like disbalances in terms of the weight of the cyborg in and out. Where a card like Wear and Tear is like a 10, but this card is going to be consistently an 8 or whatever. And I think I'm just saying like it's probably not correct to play four of this.
Yeah, we historically just don't play many copies of the Abrade type cards because they usually imply that we have too many narrow cards that we have to put something like low impact and narrow, which means that we have too many low impact cards in general. Like, I get that Pick Your Poison is good, but ultimately it does do one specific thing in your sideboard, which is trade with a card, and that can only be so impactful, especially in Modern, I think. Like, that kind of card is usually kind of great and standard, where you just need to make sure your answers work, and the opportunity cost is not as high. But I do think in Modern, you have scope for more powerful effects than just trading cards. I would also be surprised if four was ever correct, I think.
It was the best of breed.
The best of Braid, but still an Abrade.
Okay.
Best
of Braid. And one more event that happened of a lot of people were this weekend at the Modern main event in Bologna at Four Season. 451 players. That meant 10 rounds of Swiss with, you know, the classic Italian top 8 split. So the top 8 is based on... top 8 is based on Swiss, but I believe actually the first place went 9-1, which is... I couldn't ID in the eighth ones. It's definitely a brutal situations to be in. But anyway, Hardened Scales. This is a deck that we just don't see very often, and it's always a interesting deck to see at the top tables. We see Amulet Titan, which I want to open a parenthesis. I played on Friday Amulet Titan I played Amulet Titan in the FNM, and then the next day I played it at the... The next week, I played it at this Four Season event, and I got crushed. Like, I don't know. I was confident. I thought I knew what to do, but I found myself against Blue Red Murktide, struggling to time my spells, and I just lost to the various Force of Negation, Subtlety, counter spells. I just got, like, completely destroyed by counter spells, and yeah, again, I did very poorly with Amulet Titan, so I will go back to be a... I'll be the one that's casting Pick the Poison and Blood Moon against Simon the Titan instead of...
Just because you did badly with the deck once doesn't mean you have to drop it. Like,
it's not that I did badly once. I just felt like there's an entry barrier that requires you too much time that I just don't have to play this deck. Like, I thought I would have been fine, but I feel like if you play this deck, you know, not very well, it's just not that good.
Yeah, it has to be good enough, you know, for this to be worth it.
Yeah.
And this might not be the case.
Yeah, I like this list. The list that came second is the one from the latest one from House of Mana with four Explore and the three Summoner's Pact. Also, he doesn't have the land that copies the amulet, but has instead Castle Garenbrig, which is, again, something that House of Mana has been doing. So it's interesting to see that by Jacopo Lardori. And then we continue. We see Creativity, which is another deck that people have brought up as in, oh, it's coming back. Creativity is coming back. You know, Creativity used to be bad against Cascade strategy. So, you know, people are now excited to try this deck again. I am still a doubter of anything that revolves around Brennan 6, but, you know, it's there. It even top four the showcase. So it definitely had some results this past weekend.
Well, to be fair, Creativity is the best Brennan 6 deck. Like, it's Brennan 6 gets better once you have Fables and Dwarven Mine. So, like, Creativity being good doesn't mean Brennan 6 is still great in the format.
And in particular, now with Brennan 6, I guess you can get the Surveillance. So,
you can
at least something on top of... Like, this is something that I wrote in the article. It was, it's going to make Brennan 6 better.
Does it?
I don't think it still did, but yeah, it helped for sure.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense.
I don't know, like, how do they get in your grid? Like, doesn't seem like
Anthony, the thing is, with Brennan 6, often, all you care about is not drawing more lands, right? And you have excess lands.
You just flood.
So you actually...
Just flood every time.
So you actually will flood less if you have those. I didn't think about this one, but it does make an impact for sure.
Okay. Oh, I see. Javier, right.
Check this out.
Okay.
I remember once me and Javier had a discussion about the number of Dwarven Mines in Creativity long time ago. And I'm glad to see that Emanuele has three Dwarven Mines.
Yes. Do you remember what I wanted for Mengu?
For the mirror match.
Yeah. How many mirror matches are in this top 8, though?
Or in the format. I know.
That's a good point.
I wanted to root for...
I know, but I had to throw the ball back to you.
When was this? Is when you came 2-4 season last time.
I think it was 2-4 seasons ago. Yeah, so probably
like 4-12.
I think it was summer.
Maybe last summer. Yeah, I think it was last summer with Alfred.
It was in June.
Yeah, I think it was hot. June,
yeah, look forward to it.
What a way to remember.
And then we have a...
Well, it was very hot, right? Yeah, that's why...
Yeah, remember because I went from 4 seasons to Barcelona. That was probably one of my longest streak of having dinner at the restaurant.
Good restaurant, though.
I went from like, you know, 4 days in Bologna into Barcelona every night and then Athens every night. So it was 2 weeks in a row. But I survived somehow. Then we have a couple of Living Ends, which of course doesn't... You know,
kind of legal anymore.
Notably no rhinos in the top 8. I'm sure there were plenty down, and then there's the blue white Narset deck, the Narset Days Undoing, which always does well at the first season event. It's playing two blue white Surveillance. The control decks definitely are happy to play the Surveillance. I remember when I built my blue-white mana base, I had the black-white Surveillance and the Catcher Triumph. So you can go black-white Surveillance, Catcher Triumph, Leyland Binding. But I guess you can work a little bit on those numbers.
It's also like in every top 8, there's one blue-white control or one mono green Tron in Modern. It's kind of at the base of the format.
Evergreen.
It's evergreen. There's always like one of these control decks you're like, how does this even win? Or a Tron deck. Like, it's just like... how it goes.
And it's playing with three Pick Your Poison.
Wow.
No Chalice of the Void. Sometimes you see the main deck Chalice of the Void, which I'm kind of a hater. I don't like the... people be like, oh, there's a lot of Cascade. You play main deck Chalice, easy win. But the reality is that Chalice is just not a great card against so many decks that I'm not a fan of it.
I mean, Pick of Poison here is a testament of how good it is. Like, it's three Pick of Poison and in a blue-white deck. Like, that is how good these players think it is. And it probably is, honestly, just seeing how broad the card is.
Well, like, this is a deck where, like, trading... Well, I said trading one for one isn't generally something that you care that much about in Modern, at least not to that extent. But for specifically a control deck, it makes, I mean, that is what you're trying to do, right?
So, no, I know, yeah, but it's a splash card. Like it's you're splashing it, like it's playing blue white, so it's kind of annoying sometimes.
Does seem good there.
Yeah.
In seventh place, we have a 4-of of a card that probably I've never seen in my life as a 4-of. 4 Eagles of the North.
Yeah.
The infamous white cycling land got there.
I love by this deck. Mario so much.
Bisogno, who, again, top 8 for a season, going 8-1-1. It's a really, really good record with mono white Martyrs, 3 Martyr of the Sands, 4 the One Ring. Just a mono-white control deck with 2 Emeria the Sky Ruin. So you said there's a Tron in every deck, I guess, in every top 8. I guess this is something like Tron, right?
Well, I like this more than I like Tron.
This is the deck I lost to in the RC. This is the loss that I took in the RC.
Oh, I love this deck.
The mono-white. Mono-white.
I don't want to play Goddess anymore. I want to play this.
Yeah.
Did you lose to Martyr in the RC?
So my RC actually went 1-1, then dropped, basically, because I got... I'm already qualified for everything, so I was like, as soon as I get paired to a friend, if I already have a loss, I'm just going to concede and drop. But it turned out that happened in round 3. So basically, I went 1-1, and my loss was to someone playing Mono White Marcher. So yeah, I actually did lose to this. I was playing as Rhinos, and the matchup just seems like totally unwinnable, which that was their experience as well. Like, how... I mean, I only have 4 Crashing Footfalls in my deck. How am I going to beat someone with a bunch of Sweepers and Martyrs and Lockdowns? And it was very hard to win, yeah. Like, I looked at the deck list, I'm like, I'm done. I'm cooked.
This deck is great.
Yeah, it was sweet. It's funny as well, because they activated Marcher, and then they showed me 6 cards. I'm like, well, not only do they gain 18 life, I can now see their hand, which is totally unbeatable. So I was just conceded on turn 2. Like,
classic cool. Martyr. By the way, pick your poison once again in the sideboard.
Oh, hello.
Oh, wow. To pick your poison.
that's...
Oh. By the way, if you haven't seen Eagles of the North, you haven't been respecting Tristan's decks.
I do know. I tried this card in Beanstalk Cascade decks. Okay. Or whatever.
Just checking.
No, I did too. I definitely played 2 in my life, but never 4. That's why I felt
oh,
like
boy.
Because you never played Martyr. That's why.
Big mistake.
All right, this is Mario Bisogno. Congratulations, Mario, for my personal Martyr of Sands.
Yeah, no, I'm sure he beat a lot of Rhinos throughout the tournament.
And also a lot of other things. You know, there's a topic of 450 players. So,
yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. No, I know. And then finally, Yawgmoth. Again, one of the best decks in the format. 2 Underground Mortuary. That's the black-green survey land.
Sure.
And of course, a single pick your poison in the sideboard. Not more than
because,
that.
Because, probably, Because every deck has to play. How many pick your poisons are in the top 8? Like,
yeah, I was just checking that. So obviously, Living End can't play it.
Right, and on the non-Living End decks, it's like a lot of copies anyway, right?
No, yeah. But I feel like Creativity could have easily played it.
Yeah, I mean...
It chose not.
I think it's kind of funny because you see this card and it doesn't... It looks like... I mean, obviously it's like the best or whatever, but like it doesn't look like it. The first time you look at it, it's like, well, there's going to be a good cyber card in draft. That's it, right? That's the first thought I get with this card, like the canopy.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, the first time I saw it was like, yeah, I know it's good, but like, I didn't think about it that much. You know, I understand like there's cards like these that were played and way worse, but like, and now suddenly it's like being a splash team blue white and mono white and any kind of deck.
Murktide. Like Murktide plays the main.
Yeah,
deck.
Like Murktide, you play pick the what? You know,
it's like, a new make disappear where you're like, oh, that looks good, but then you don't realize like it means good. Good multi-format, good.
Well, sort I know Misapir is a multi-format superstar, but this is like
this is something else. Yeah,
this is one of the most played cards in Modern right now. You know, like that's not Make Disappear. Unfortunately, for Make Disappear,
oh, I love Make
Disappear. It has to be one of the most. It has to be one of the most non-land played cards, like for real. Yeah. And that's impressive.
Well, it's just very broad. Ooh. To be fair, I do want to specify that it's because it's broad and not because it's so.
So is this powerful, like good design for you or bad design, Anthony?
I think it's good design. I don't know. I think Modern needs more cards like this. Like, to be fair, I also think like pitch elementals are good for Modern. So, I mean, I'm obviously fine if I think a good answer is played in lots of different decks.
But counterpoint is like it makes like it's all the same answer for all the decks.
Okay, so but the alternative like, is that they just don't play an answer, like that, which is the same thing for the free answers in Modern. Like if they don't play those, they just don't play answers and they just goldfish instead. So,
okay,
yeah, I think this is way better than the alternative. For sure.
Do you agree, Mango? Do you feel like the same or Like you like the
Yeah, I know. I like Pika Poison, yeah. Did you say were you talking about the Pika Poison impact in Modern?
Well, I was talking about if you like the design, if you like just the fact design. That it's now played yeah. in every deck.
Like not whether it's good or yeah. the quality no, of the cards. I was literally just talking about the card as a design.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean I don't know. I mean, I'm happy that you print cards that get through Modern. So the more cards you go to Modern.
No, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's cool. But also, like, these kind of cards actually have a bottleneck type of situation where this card means less cards will get in, particularly compared to, you know, because it's not really about power level, as Anthony said. It's more like about the level of flexibility of answers.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the more answer, the better the format is. I remember when MH2 came out, it was wonderful because it had so many very good and cheap answers, right? That's what we love to do. We love to have more interactive decks when the top decks are Esper Goryeo and Living End or I mean the Titan. We don't really love that. So I'm a big fan of Pick Your Poison and cheap answers for sure. Yeah, so what else to say? Do you guys have anything to share of your weekend, Anthony? What was your preparation? You landed on Rhinos, of course. Did you consider any other deck?
What do you mean, of course? I mean, my entire preparation was I landed back. I spent some extra time in the United States after the PT. I returned, and then I was like, when's my next flight? I was like, oh, it's in 3 days? Oh, my God. So I asked Nathan Steuer, what do you think's good? And he said, Domain Rhinos, I think that's best. I was like, all right, that'll do. So that was the extent of my preparation.
I have a question, Anthony. It's an important question for me.
Yeah.
So in the Sydney, Perth, Melbourne scale, where does Melbourne land and why?
It's the best by a lot. Like, it's not particularly close. Like, so Perth is just... Well, there's not that much going on here, but it's kind of comfy and nice. Like, it's a really good place to retire, but it's very far from everywhere, so that's a point against it. And Sydney's just kind of unplayable. Like, it's basically... Like, Sydney's kind of... what's a good analogy? It's kind of like Murktide. Like, there's a lot of people on it, but it doesn't really make any sense, and it's very expensive, and there's not really any upside. So, I think... I'm just very down on Sydney. Like, it's just expensive and ugly and bad.
So Melbourne is good. Okay.
Melbourne is the most European of the cities by a lot. Like, it's got a great public transport system. It's got, like, some arts and culture to it. I went to a nice concert when I was there, which is something that's a lot easier to do in Melbourne. There's just lots of nice cafes. I don't know. If anybody visits Australia, I definitely recommend Melbourne. I guess you kind of have to go to Sydney because, don't know, there's tourist stuff there. But Melbourne is the best city by a lot. Like, if this RC was in Sydney... Like, I would just not have gone. Like, I was fine going to this RC because it was in Melbourne, even though I wasn't going to play for anything. But obviously, I didn't care that much with the RC if I went 1-1 and then conceded to a friend and dropped. Like, I was not very invested. But I was still happy to go because I love to visit Melbourne. So that's how highly I think of Melbourne, you know? Like, it's a really great city. So, there you go.
Mm-hmm. I was just...
What were you saying? Oh, you asked me about rhinos. That's it. Yeah, I got a bit sidetracked by Javier there.
Actually, I wanted to ask you, I was just thinking about something right now.
Yeah.
So, Crashing Footfalls has been around since 2019. Nobody has ever put the cards Violent Outburst and Ardently with Crashing Footfalls. Do you think it was a mistake? Or do you think, like,
the four, just four the two, colors, two Rhino, additional... No, four colors Rhino, you're indeed, right?
No, I'm saying before Shardless Agent was printed, nobody... played the cards, and you even had Force of Negation, and you had, you know, I guess you didn't have Subtlety, which maybe eased the glue of everything, but Orgas Lorem revealed. I mean, you certainly have a lot of new cards printed, but I'm just thinking, you know, now everybody's just so happy to put Ardent Plea in their deck, but, you know, you had this four-color deck available.
Are you asking me about before Shardless Agent and Subtlety existed, like, whether it was correct to build Rhinos a certain way? I mean, I don't know. I mean, why don't you ask me, like, how the Bill Clinton election went? I don't know. It's ancient history. I can't give you a real answer. I'm sorry.
Well,
how am I supposed to answer that?
I mean, Modern, so you're saying, like, between the time of Modern Answers 1 and Modern Answers 2, right? I actually feel like that might be right. And maybe there was a deck there to be found and we didn't find it, where Footfalls had enough, because Force Negation was there and the whole shell was kind of there. And presumably the power level was somewhat lower. Adam, because I recall, was the best decks in Modern Horizons 1. I think it was obviously Hogak, but after Hogak.
Yeah, you had like Arkham's Astrolabe, Uro.
Yeah.
I guess there was also Okko in the mix.
I mean, those cards are much better than Rhinos, right?
Sounds pretty broken.
So, yeah.
What about just before MH2?
Mox Opal. Yeah, maybe just before MH2, after they banned Okko, Mox Opal, whatever. There was like a small window, maybe. But it was a small window. There was no PT whatsoever.
It sounds horrible. Yeah. It was Prowess, Heliod. Prowess and Heliod and a little bit of Death Shadow.
And that might be a fine situation for Rhinos, but also maybe. It would be worse
sounds
than
kinda
it, maybe.
Yeah.
I think there could be a chance for the deck to be at least like a tier 2 playable deck, but nothing like a score. Like the power level was, I was going to say lower, but it was higher because of the broken cards. And, you know, if they play an Okko and you play Rhinos, you're not going to win the game probably, so...
I'm more willing to entertain that it might have been something we should have tried earlier. Like, you know, like more recently, maybe we should have been playing Ardent Plea. I don't know. Maybe. Probably not.
Well, yeah, there's a chance
it's believable.
It was better. Yeah, like there's a chance, not to the chance Ardent Plea was better than Violent Outburst all around. But I also, I don't know, I never liked Living End being in the metagame much. So I'm not going to miss that deck. I can tell you that.
Yeah, it's just a miserable deck.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I don't like it because all the it's just like all the games were exactly the same ish from the other side. So I mean, I did tend to play decks that were good against Living End, but it doesn't mean I particularly enjoyed. Like it was consistently my least favorite matchup to play across the board, even though most decks I played were good against it, but still. Some others were bad, and when they were bad against Living End, it felt like you just couldn't play as long as they hit the third land or whatever. So yeah, for me, not having a deck in the format is a good thing. I don't mind Rhinos. I don't think it's great to have them because, you know, it's also kind of the same, but not as to the same extent. Like, there's some combat and there's some very variations, a bit important variations that are not there with Living End.
Yeah, you can play like Unholy Heat, you kill a Rhino, and then... You know, you live.
Yeah, yeah, it's a different
three
thing.
Three mana, show and tell omniscience, you know, by itself. No, for sure. So, as I said earlier, not this weekend, but the one after, I have a large Modern tournament I have to prepare. You guys know my deck building decisions often imply that if I did poorly with a deck recently, I'm not going to play it.
Recently.
So I'm ruling out... Murktide, I'm ruling out Mono Black Coffers.
Amulet.
I mean, Amulet is just the...
Mangu, like I think it's pretty clear. I think it's pretty clear. You should play Domain Sue with 3 or less Leyland of the Guild Pact.
What about Tron? What about Tron?
No. Why would you play Tron?
No, because I think it's like Tron makes sense for like defined meta game. Like we play Tron when we have something to target, and right after a ban when things are in flux, like when things are harder to predict, it's not the time for Tron. Like Tron is good for stable meta games. I wish I played Tron at the RC because we actually kind of knew what to expect.
Yeah, you could have played Tron. Yeah, it would have been good.
I should have. No, 100% I should have. I think absolutely. I just got trapped by Nate. You know, that's
fun. We officially blame Nate on this.
Yeah, of course. I blame a lot of things on him.
Yeah.
When I saw Martos top-hating the RC in Ghent while I was just scrubbing out with every deck I was playing, all I thought was, why didn't I test it? Why didn't I test Ron?
Prejudice. You need to conquer your prejudice, Mangu. It's 2024.
No, man. I play Tron. I won my first RCQ with Tron.
Then why didn't you test it?
So,
yeah, why didn't you play it? Tron is what I would have played in that RC, actually.
I'm telling you why.
I was asking myself that. So that's something that I regret. And today again, I was playing a league on Magic Online on stream with Ron. Matos was in the chat. We were just so happy. You know, the deck was drawing so well. And yeah.
Okay,
was,
but don't play. Don't actually play it though. Not at this event. I'm sorry.
Maybe
if it was good, we would tell
you. Okay, so I'm considering Tron. I'm considering Domain Zoo, and I'm considering Espergorio. Those are the three decks.
Do you think Espergorio is the kind of deck you can play right after it does well? I feel like that's not how Modern works. I don't know.
Yeah, I think Tron is not looking good. it looks extremely bad against Goddess if you don't play Bradleys or whatever. And yeah, I mean, it looks good for the main too. I don't know.
So,
what about Rhinos?
You think it did well? Yes, but together with this deck doing well, you have Living End, quote unquote, dying. So people may just cut their graveyard hate.
And then you lose like one of your great matchups that you were. You said this deck was a good response to Living End.
That's true.
It doesn't exist. So
that's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's for sure true.
Also, great. I don't know. I feel like it's not that. Yeah, I don't know. In Modern, if a new deck appears, I'm usually very cautious of joining it because I don't know, I've just seen that play out way too many times in a way that isn't very good for the people adopting the new deck. So I feel like it's not the glorious. I mean, you should test it if you have time. Obviously, there's always a question of resources. But
yeah, for sure.
I'm not really feeling Tron, which out of your choices would leave Domain Zoo. But I think maybe you should play Rhinos. I think that's what I would play.
No.
What do you mean no?
I hate that deck. I always hate that deck.
Yeah, don't play that. Wow, okay. That's my teaching for today. If you hate the deck, don't play it. It doesn't go. You have to learn to not hate it first. And once you do it, then you can play it.
Every time I play a league with Rhinos, I'm so sad.
You should not play the deck.
How is that a reason? I don't want to say
Anthony
that.
Anthony does not have a soul for these things. I can understand you, Mango. Don't play Rhinos.
Tron, on the contrary, Tron is a happy deck.
Yes,
this is unreal.
When you top deck the Tron missing piece, it gives you a type of happiness that no other deck gives you. Like, it doesn't exist.
This is
competitive Magic deck selection at its finest, Anthony Lee. I don't know what you're saying here.
I want to throw up.
That's how the actual professionals choose their decks.
Do you guys remember Saito? He was saying this a lot. Happy deck.
Happy deck. Yes. he was a very big fan of Happy Deck.
If the deck is not happy, you should not play Mango. Because I'm not even kidding now. Like, I think when you play a deck that you just do not enjoy, you're often going to be making like worse decisions in average. Like, not only because you're going to be, you know, maybe mulliganing worse or whatever, but also you will not put the effort as much as you will otherwise in learning the deck on the small things that you're like, you know, just clicking through or whatever the games instead of like being focused on actually getting better with the deck and every single opportunity. So yeah, certainly for all the listeners, do not recommend tying it with a deck that you don't like for a tournament.
Sometimes it's right. I mean, I think that's often true, but that's not always true. But it also depends on why you don't like the deck, surely. Like, I don't really get why Mango would dislike Rhinos so much more than Zoo. Like, what's...
I mean, maybe he doesn't like Rhinos, you know? Maybe he's scared of Rhinos.
Okay. Just has a problem.
What about that reason? Yeah.
The ungulates. Like, okay.
Yeah. Like, that would be a fair reason, you know? If you're scared of Rhinos, you should not play the deck.
Okay. It's difficult for me to argue with that, I suppose.
No, because I have run into the situation where I didn't... Like, let's say... It could happen. Like, I mean, I did not like Tron for some time, and other decks in the standard format particularly, I have disliked a lot. Like the Marvel deck, I did not like it, right?
So you top 8ed a Pro Tour with Tron.
I know, so, but in the past,
that's a story of you overcoming your prejudice against a deck and then succeedingly massively. So I'm how is the lesson to not do that?
Let me finish. I'm talking about like 2015 or so. What I would be like, well, you know, Tron being in the format sucks or whatever. I would get frustrated playing Tron and also against Tron because I did not like the deck and also did not like the presence of the deck in the format. So what I did was just like try to embrace Tron, like try to like Tron, which is a different thing of trying to be good with Tron. I just tried to be like, all right, let's play Tron and see how I can enjoy this deck or whatever. And eventually worked. Like, I just played enough Magical Land or whatever until I eventually had fun playing Tron. And that's where I became good with Tron, which was useful, you know, flash forward to the last PT last summer. But, like, that's the process I went through. I was not like, well, I'm going to play Tron in tournaments. No, I first learned to enjoy Tron, and then I learned Tron.
But that's my whole point. Like, why don't you tell people to learn to like it and then play? Like, it's not like Mango has to play the tournament tomorrow.
I'm telling them, like, that's exactly what I'm telling them. Yeah, Mango, if you're going to play Rhinos, you should learn to love the Rhinos first.
Yeah, don't tell him to not play it. Tell him to learn to like it the way that you like it. I mean, if you hated the deck and then you ended up top-aiding a PT with it, you can tell people how to get from point A to point B instead of telling them to give up somewhere in between. What is that? Come on.
I mean, there was not the whole speech. I needed some time to develop how it happened. Okay. So
all good.
That would be the lesson of the day for my experience.
I was just so outraged. All right. Yeah.
Javier, I have a question to you.
Okay.
As a Tron lover,
all right.
Speaking of love.
Love wow. with Tron, yes. Thank you.
Do you want to play Pick Your Poison in the Tron sideboard?
Probably, yeah. I think that card is most certainly good enough in Tron because it does help. Like, naturally, the wear and tear matchups are the matchups where Tron is worse, right? So, for once, like, Pick of Potions is actually, like, the best card you can probably play in this deck for those decks. And also, it's, like, broad enough. Like, here, saboting it in against Murtide, for example, does make a change, like, a big change. So, I think it's relevant. Like, finally, we have a good cyborg card in Tron. That's not, I mean, you still have Obaseju, right? So, but other than that, there's finally a good cyber card in Tron that you can play it here. So I think it's an improvement.
Yeah. From your list, I cut the Cursed Totem and a second Haywire Might for to Pick Your Poison.
Yeah, well, you should not be cutting a second Haywire Might. And it's a little bit long, but you should probably just do not do that.
Just read Mavia's article there. But the totem kind of sucks anyway, but.
Yeah, I wasn't citing in the Haywire Might.
But that's also something you should not do. Like,
okay, so you cited in.
Yeah, you need to have one in your deck and one in your sideboard. That's like the bare minimum for the deck's functionality.
I understand.
And if you have more questions, you can check my Harry article on Tron because I say all of this in that article, I think.
Yeah. I know. I read it.
But specifically the role compression thing does matter a lot for Tron. But that's like an unusual case, but because you have Khan, like, being able to compress your slots like this actually does matter a lot. So that's actually different to what we'd said about Pick Your Poison before. But it makes a lot of sense that it's very good in Tron. Yeah, I mean,
yeah, but it's like, an upgrade. Like, if Tron has a three cyber card, like three card slots, you know, like now having a super upgrade, that's now very good. Yeah, like, your cyber can only be just Pick Your Poisons. That's it. And that's fine. Perfect. So, yeah. It's
today
a big improvement, I will say, actually. From like Nature's Claim or Borsage or whatever you want to think and you want to play in that slot.
Today, I was able to destroy a Alpine Moon with Pick Your Poison in Tron using the green mana from Alpine Moon.
That's great. You can also destroy Blood Moons, Mortites. Like, there's a lot of things you can do with this card, and it's even like good with the Chromatic Stars and the Spheres. Like, I never thought of it in Tron, but it's definitely. I mean, it's probably very good in Omnath or whatever, but it's probably better in Tron in my opinion. Now I'm thinking about it.
Yeah, it seems very clear to me. It's kind of funny, isn't this? It's this card called Pick Your Poison, where you just always pick this card. You're not really picking, are you? It's just always this one.
Yeah, no choices are made. Just play Pick Your Poison. Yeah,
there you go.
To play set. Yeah.
Okay. Do you guys have anything else to share, or are we good to wrap up?
I think we're good. We should thank you the new
new patrons. I was going to do that.
Of the
thank
week.
You.
Yeah, Mango does it.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you, Leo and Igor, for joining the Patreon. Of course, you are joining the Discord, sharing your questions and results with us of Thriver format. That's very nice. The whole Discord is always a nice place for me to read. So
there's one thing I wanted to say, actually, because I got this this question this week from in the Discord of the podcast. Camber Leaf asked about the Phoenix Mirror match. I talked a bit about this in the My Hatteria guide. And I wanted to say, I like these kind of questions because sometimes make me think about things I have not thought before. The question was, are there, things for the new Mirror matches now people play Ashok? And so if anyone else has this doubt, so there's nothing like that. I have not made more content, but, the most important part of the Ashoks in the Mirror match is, you should practice a little bit with that matchup specifically in mind, with Ashoks in mind, because there's no guidelines. So don't try to always play the card the same way. Just try to, deviate from every situation. Like, try to deduce how to play every situation, because all the practice can get you there. There's not you should slow roll the Ashok or whatever. It doesn't work like that. Just wanted to mention that question. I thought it was a good one.
Yeah, I would say there's no guidelines, but I would maybe frame it as saying, you should really consider sometimes it's the best card on turn 3 and sometimes it's the best card on turn 12. So, be really, really open to how you play this card.
That even means not playing in turn 3 even if you can. You have to just try to craft the different game, and every game is going to be different in Phoenix Mirrors. So that's something, just practice. Like, if you play 10 matches or whatever against a friend with those decks, you should be able to get some familiarity, but there's no guideline. Even if I wanted to, there's nothing I can tell you that, you know, I want to play Ashok like that because that's not how it works.
Well, you could, but it would take a very, very, very long time. A lot of effort.
Well, it'll still not be accurate, I guess. You know, still I will find slots where, like spots where, no, I'm not going to play Ashok here because blah, blah, blah. And that would be very hard to cover.
I think that's
it for me, Mengu.
Yeah, again, you can go and check out Javier's article and find it on his Twitter or on Aruya.
I think it's a good one, yeah. It's a good article.
Great place to start your Pioneer RCQ season since they didn't ban Phoenix. So Phoenix is legal and you should probably, I don't know, consider it since it's definitely one of the best decks in the format.
Sure, consider it.
So I think... Consider.
Nice card, considered, yeah. Haha.
Yeah, very strong. Very strong card. Also, Javier, I saw that you side out Arclight Phoenix. I was checking out the guide and I was like, siding out one Arclight. Yeah, in a bunch of matches, you side out one Arclight Phoenix. That's so strange to
me. Bro, you don't know how hard we had to fight Javier to make him take out Phoenixes in so many matchups. Like, it was, oh my god, I lost so many.
Well, first is Phoenix is a filler in this deck, and two, Anthony is right. I did put a lot of fight. I did not want to take any amount of Arcane Phoenix. It took multiple teammates being convinced.
How many hours, Javier, did it take me and Isaac to convince, to persuade, for the two of us to persuade you to cut it any at all? Yeah. How many hours do you think we spent total?
It took some hours for some people, very smart people with some very convincing arguments. But in my defense, I not only did agree to have that in the cyber guide, but I also actually cybered them out in the tournament. So, you know,
if you agreed to before the tournament, you really should do it during the tournament.
I know. What I mean is, like, not only I agree, but also, like, in every single spot, it was close. I actually just imagined this, like, a small Anthony in my head, like, shout out the Phoenix. And
I don't sound like that.
It does, yeah. He does. I don't know. It's not you. It's another fake Anthony. So I actually was found cyborging out Phoenixes in the PT. So that's how much convinced I got. Yeah, so it's...
If you want to hear more Pioneer content, definitely check out the last episode we made last week, which was the analysis of the Pro Tour, where Javier got ninth, and, you know, we talk about a lot about Pioneer. So, you know, when Pioneer season we go back, definitely episode 71 is the one to search for. But for now, this was an all-in modern episode. Next week, I hope I'll have an option ready of what to play at LMS Prague. But yeah, thank you everybody for listening. This is episode 72 of Competitive Magic with the Carnies. And we'll see you next week.
Bye-bye.
Cheers.